You're listening to The Net Live with Barney.
You used to wear some tight underwear, Cameron.
And DJ Rouchet.
You get to call yourself buff all the time.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
All this travel and plane and priorities has been really getting in the way of our relationship.
We'll talk about all kinds of non-volleyball related things.
He dated Irene Cara.
Gabrielle Reese.
You can call me Gabby if you want.
The only thing missing is a mascot head.
Post-sack does sound a lot more funny.
It's The Net Live right now.
I had something earlier. Reed talked about us kind of wrapping up a weekend.
Not wrapping. Oh.
Well, wrapping up a weekend and summarizing things. And it got me, it had a moment jump to mind for me. Special moments that have happened on this show. I think of Hugh McCutchen. And I was talking to him at convention, I want to say in 2010. And if you remember, those that remember in 08, both the, for Hugh, the most incredible moment in his life to that point, probably, aside from maybe his marriage to Wiz, happened at the Olympic Games, win a gold medal with your team. Before that, the most awful moment in his life had happened. And I asked him about the juxtaposition of those two things. And he got into it a little bit. And I remember him saying to me, Barney, I've never really talked about it until now. And I was sitting with him. I could paint the picture right now in my mind. I can see where we were sitting in the booth at the table, him across from me. Something that without this show wouldn't happen. It was a very powerful moment and something that I'm proud to have had on this show, talking to Hugh about such an awful thing and such an incredible thing that happened in the span of 2 weeks.
Here's to 10 more years.
More great moments.
Man, I was just thinking about having Misty on and all the things she was talking about from the perspective of Misty May Trainor, right? Like the places that she's been, but she hasn't really been. Like she wants to go travel.
Yeah.
She's been all over the world, right? You're like, oh, you've won titles in Klagenfurt and Stade and all these places. And she's like, I don't know what I've seen airports and you know, volleyball courts.
I was talking with one Phil Dahlhauser, who's never blocked Kevin, in case I was wondering.
Philippe,
if you will.
Yeah, Philip Peter.
We were talking, he's like, yeah, I've been to Russia like 9 times. Never seen Red Square.
Right.
Ever.
No.
Because you don't like... People think the same thing, too. Like, oh, like you get to see it. Like, hey, when you're in Chicago, go do this. Or when you're in Seattle, go do that. I'm like, I see my hotel room, and I see the event site.
Is it on the way?
Yeah. Like, unless it's in my Uber ride from the airport to the hotel, like, that's all I get to see. And it's probably worse for the players because you're rehabbing or you're sleeping or you're counting your micro, whatever the other word is that Reed has to do. I don't know. I had a joke, and I lost it halfway through. So
halfway through the shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, there's still some left.
Yeah. I found that
you're
to be
sipping
true.
That.
I found that to be true in indoor, but I think in beach there's so much more downtime
for you.
That you get to
for
like, you get to see other things. I mean, like if you're not, I mean, like go to the Red Square. Come on, go have a coffee in the Red Square. Phil,
stop
playing Xbox.
What was your first?
Yes. Hey man, like, those
don't
actually work.
That's actually a good
so
point.
Intense.
That's
I play an hour point. And a half a day. It's like no, you play 12 hours of Xbox.
Fortnite, man.
Was Austin, Texas your first beat? Like when you started like at full time again, was that your first one or was Huntington and then Austin? I have a story about Austin. I'm trying to remember if it was your first one though.
Oh, no. My first AVP tournament since
Sanford.
No, when you like after you quit indoor and like AVP was full time.
No, Huntington was first.
Huntington was first.
And
then
it was this great day of qualifying.
Qualifier,
that
yeah.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. So Reed was on stadium court, I think, Friday morning in Austin. And there's 20 people in the stands. After the match
raging.
Is over, I think, he wins. And he yells up at me into the booth. He's like, hey, like get that guy, referring to broadcast Mark, who he did not know as of yet. Like, maybe you like get him some coffee like to get this place fired up. And I think I yelled at Reed. I'm like, Reed, it's Friday. It's Friday morning at like 9.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing my A game just quite yet. So I wanted to set the expectations for Reed.
Yeah, not to Reed.
On how the tournament goes.
Not to Reed. It's
I think I'm channeling what Misty's saying about these new athletes and these new fans. Look. I mean, no.
Oh, go.
Okay, so, you know, I've run these beach workouts sometimes.
Really? Moving sand.
I'm playing house music, and I like to remind them, like, hey,
Rich.
This isn't me having a midlife crisis playing house music because I'm 42 years old. This is just European oldies.
You introduced me to Barbra Streisand by Duck Sauce.
I've lived in Europe half my life. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So this is just oldies. This is like 90s. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if you can't get excited, don't show up.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Misty talking about the athletes, because I wonder if they know who she is. Like, not just know who she is, but they who she is. Like, if she's telling you something, you're like, whoa.
When she said she had to kind of, like, prove it to them first, you can't just bring your gold medals to practice and be like, what else do I have to prove for you?
Just drop them.
Hey, get it, like, reach out, platform perfect, and they're like, well, I don't know, like, hey, here's
really
my...
Send it for that one.
Do you hear that noise? That's my three gold medals banging into each other. How about
I've got
just do it?
I've got, like, 400 Instagram followers, so I don't want to mess up my makeup.
Son of a...
I will say that when I transitioned to the beach, I made two calls. One was to Todd and one was to Misty.
Smart, man.
And so
decent calls.
I have absolutely any chance that she – and she's actually come out and she's done workouts with me. And
she walks.
If she had the time or the bandwidth, I would absolutely have her be the head coach of my team, whatever team
of course.
I was on.
Misty May Trainer is something that – I saw her a lot on stadium court. Her and Carrie were on, I think, stadium court every single match they played, because then the stadium would be full. I would remember plays of, like, it's a scramble play, digging balls, running things down. And then I'd see a still photo later, and her platform, body motion, even diving, is all perfect. She was in perfect alignment. Like, she was not the fleetest of foot, and she would admit that too, but she was always in the right place at the right time, but always, like, perfect form. So the fact that her kids that she's coaching don't listen to her really upsets me.
Probably I might need
to show up to those practices.
Probably a lot of Ed Jan photos that you were looking at.
Too. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think you think she's walking in Orange Theory like
when everybody else is working their ass off
and they look over? You think they look over and they're like, "Who is that Misty? No, it's Camp, right? No,
Misty wouldn't be walking in
Yorba
Orange
Linda?
Theory.
Yorba Linda? No. By the way, a quick story. Yorba Linda, 1997, lost to Esperanza High School in the CIF semifinals. I'm not bitter about it. Five games, 15-13 in the fifth. It was rough.
How did you play?
A lot of BYU kids on that team, too. Justin Dalton. Oh, man. Kyle Allman. Anderson. Yeah, Allman. Yep. Allman was their man.
Allman was their guy.
God, he was a beast.
What school were you at?
MiraCosta, Manhattan Beach. Yeah. Have you heard of it?
Suck it.
Awesome. Reed, when you called Todd and Misty, what did you ask them? Like... And what was their advice?
You know, that's a great question because when I first came out, right, there was, you know, I kind of was just like...
Bro, you're an indoor guy. You can't play on the beach?
Yeah. Well, there was all that.
By the way, every person that plays on the beach has come from indoor, unless you're Sean Rosenthal.
Right.
Just going to throw that out there.
Or Phil Dahlhauser.
Maybe fewer. Maybe fewer now it is.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
The goal was just to try to get with the best. I mean, here I am looking at the best, right?
Todd Rogers.
With Todd Rogers. But,
it's a doll of Todd Rogers, in case anybody can't see it currently.
Anytime you embark on a new thing, you don't know what you don't know. And I really regret how I spent money, especially, and resources and time that year. I spent a lot of money.
Yeah, I never got to visit your trailer, and I felt bad about that.
In the wrong places. And I thought that... Because volleyball, beach volleyball, has absolutely hardly any impact on your body. And so I went from this super high demand thing into beach volleyball thinking that, like, man, I'm old, I got to stay fit. So I spent money there. And then, of course, data I thought was really important. But really, if anybody asked me now, where would you spend money, I would absolutely. So I don't spend any money on body care right now. This last year I lifted probably like 15 times. And that's not because I wanted to. It's because I've had another, you know, I'm trying to, like, get a startup company off the ground. I'm trying to play volleyball. But I would absolutely spend money on coaching.
Okay.
And I feel like everyone else gets it wrong. They're spending money on massages, on lifting, and body care, and all these different things, when they should be spending money on coaching. They should be buying time with guys like Rich, with Jose Loyola, with Misty May, whoever you can get to, because when you don't know what you don't know, how do you make progress? And so, you know, the real questions was, we have video of me working with Todd, and it's embarrassing how terrible it was with me.
Yeah.
But it was good, you know, working with the best in those two. You know, I think for Misty, one of the best things, she always brings her dad, and obviously her dad's mentality is sort of imparted in her
Butch
as well.
May.
And, you know, it's just kind of like that old school mentality where there's, you just keep working. There is no excuse. There's no bad set. There is no, like, I don't care how bad my blocker is. I just need to adapt to it. You know, all of that kind of mentality, I feed off of that kind of feedback. And, that's what she provided. And of course, anything that Misty says, you're just going to absorb and try to do.
Unless you're one of her current players, apparently.
Rich, as a coach, do you learn from other coaches? How do you, from a player, obviously, you make a call, you want to, I think Reed said, tap into the experience, right? You can't buy that experience. As a coach, how do you work with other coaches?
Well, it's kind of an evolving thing, I think, on the beach, especially because, I don't know, until very recently, we're starting to crack out of the mold where, you know, me and my partner are like our own little fiefdom or whatever, right? And we stay away from all these other guys because they're our competition and we don't want to give away all these secrets that we know, right? Which, like, I get that to a certain extent, but it's so much better the situation we have now. Reed and Dave are part of this USA program that Tyler has started up where our top teams are training with each other one day a week, you know, ideally for the betterment of our whole program, right? And so there's a little bit more of a sense of community now. Jose Loyola and I are actually participating in this, I don't know what you would call it, like this education course, I guess, for coaches that the USOC puts on. So that's really, really interesting to do all this DISC profiling, if you know what that is, like this emotional intelligence, like all that kind of stuff, figuring out.
Are you struggling at that, or is that working for you?
What's that?
Is the emotional stuff working for you, or are you struggling with that?
Well, I mean, I don't need to go into
a whole
explanation of of the emotional intelligence thing, but let's just say 1%, not a good score. But yeah, anyways, I mean, this is like an educational thing to try and, I don't know, figure out the things that I didn't know. I wouldn't have known, you know, it seems common sense once you sort of talk it out maybe, but like thinking about the different personality types that you have to deal with as a coach and what might cause that person to respond poorly, what might cause them to respond well to the things you have to say, like all that stuff I wasn't really just instinctively aware of. So
yeah,
you know,
it's
interesting to learn that kind of
stuff. They do a lot of that in the corporate world, right? Like you get hired and you start a job and you take some, you know, 400 question multiple choice test just to understand how you work with others or how to be managed or whatever.
Right.
And you know, you're right. Maybe it's been slower to make its way into the athletic world, at least in volleyball. You know, they always talk about in the NFL draft how they have those quarterback quizzes and tests and everything. But
right.
The rest of the world.
Well, yeah, and the USOC, it's cool this year. Like Tuesday, we practice with Reed and Dave, and USOC sends out a guy that's a former Navy SEAL captain, and he's involved in their coaching education program. Just comes to our practice, helps us out, but is kind of observing what I'm doing and seeing if there's ways I can kind of plug leaks and, you know, I don't know, just basically improve my coaching game, which is awesome to have that sort of feedback from a guy. You know, he doesn't know anything about volleyball specifically, but he just knows about how coaches, you know, or leaders and whatever, followers, like I call my guys, how they should interact with one another.
Yeah.
Have you found yourself, has it changed your coaching mentality? I'm sure, like, you've learned things, right? But, like, your overall philosophy on coaching the game?
Not that my philosophy is different, but hopefully you, I don't know, keep improving your viewpoint on things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, whereas I consider myself a relatively logical person, so in my mind, if I come to a conclusion,
there's a reason
decent reason behind it, so it's going to be hard to sway me off of that. But I think, I don't know, educating myself as a person who has to interact with others, obviously there's lots of different ways to get to the same point, right? And so that I've kind of opened up that viewpoint, I suppose.
Yeah. Reed.
I totally back that, by the way.
Okay. I was going to say, you've known him a long time. Logical, for sure.
Until a call doesn't go his way.
What was your nickname?
Red Rich.
Red Rich, yeah.
I was a neutral third Red party.
Zero to 100?
No, no. What's really interesting about this is that we got to play for Hugh. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to us, Hugh knew all this stuff. And if he didn't, he's just a genius. But we did mission statement stuff before. I mean, we were kicking and screaming in 2005 in Anaheim, being like, why are we in a hotel room? Why are we in a conference room writing down talking about our feelings and what we're good at?
How does that make you feel? Yeah. Makes me feel pissed that I'm not in the gym.
Should we be competing and like sweating and fighting? But that was, I would say, one of the most, probably without that day, without those 2 days, I don't know that we win. I mean, that set up a mission statement, which set up a mantra, which set up daily rhythms of him saying, hey, we're here, Carl McGowan echoing it. Hey, if we're here, we might as well be here. You know, all these idioms that sprung from that one moment was really interesting. But Hugh always used to say, everybody's going to be treated fairly, but not equally. Mm. So it's like he knew all this stuff about like the disc profile or whatever it might be. Of just like, hey, we're going to treat Loy Ball
this way,
one way, and we're going to treat, Dave McKenzie another way. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like you've got different parameters.
LeBron is treated differently than the guy who's on the two-way contract from the G League.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to derail this podcast into a discussion about the word equality and what that means.
We can talk. That's on our next podcast,
yeah.
The Team J Rich podcast.
What's really fascinating, though, is that when you switch it over to Beach, you've got the players are the decision makers.
Correct.
Which totally shifts the dynamic. And so I'm constantly trying to figure out ways in which that dynamic can be reversed because I think that's the right order. I don't want a coach.
For you want the coach to be the coach.
It's for me and my preference, but for everybody. I don't care. Like, if you're the person if you're the player that needs to be pushed and prodded and inspired and all these different things, if you're the decision maker, you need to somehow give somebody trust. You need to entrust somebody to say, you have permission to speak into me the truth.
Have either one of you been in a situation where, like on the beach, where one player, like there's a coach, one player wants a different coach, and the other one's like, no, I like this coach, but because the players are in charge, if one player's like, I'm not even listening to that coach anymore, does that coach end up leaving?
Oh, I don't know if that's how it happened, but I've been fired a lot, if that's what you were asking.
That is not what I was asking. But I'm well aware of your resume.
My sordid employment history.
Yes. We've never fired you from the podcast.
It's true.
And Reed's going to hire you for TNL 2.0.
Yeah.
And that's more of like my own curiosity of just like, I wonder what that dynamic is or those conversations are between the players. If one player is like, hey, I don't like this coach. The other one's like, no, he's the one or she's the one for us.
I mean, look, if everybody was making a really decent living, this would be a different discussion.
Totally.
But because it's a scarcity mindset, I just think if I had one call to make to the players that I didn't have 3 years ago, it would be like, stop worrying about your body and learn the game.
And what I'm curious, you're not telling them not to work out or not to recover.
No, but you can do that yourself.
That's okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not minimizing.
Correct.
I mean, I've got amazing people around me. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But like, at the end of the day, you're trying to win points. You know what I mean? And you need to know how to pass. You need to know how to set. You need to know strategy.
Passing is key.
Yeah. And I think that there's just an overemphasis on all of the other stuff that pro athletes get and an underemphasis on like the knowledge of the actual skills and the strategies. And I would love to see a generation say, hey, we need some mentorship. We need some leadership.
Do you think the sport all sports are kind of going that way, though, now with like the focus on like a Dr. Gervais or like the mental side of it, visualization, like where before it was, let's just get in the gym and hit balls and see what happens. Do you think like in 10 years that is even more of a focal point where like John Sproul had Andrea Becker on his staff, like those kind of situations, do you think that's going to be more the norm?
I think it's...
Crickets, my bad.
I mean, for sure it's not faux pas anymore. It's just, I mean, everybody recognizes that having a mental coach is an asset. It's not a, it's not something you should be ashamed of. The ability to focus under pressure is what makes great people great, you know, athletes great. It's not, there's not magic. And there's people out there that, that know how to do that better than others. Gervais, one of them. And so, yeah, I think that's something that could go forward.
Rich, are you training your brain?
Not as much as I need to, I don't think. I focus on picking people's grammar apart on Instagram.
That is, yeah, that actually is true. I like when you do that. Where's Barnett? When Kevin
Rich,
leaves, Kevin is
Rich
left.
As a coach, though, let me just say this: like when he was a player, he was a sizzle pit kind of guy, fast arm, right? Especially, were you kind of a line guy?
No, I'm all wrist away, but
wrist away. Yeah. Okay, so he was a wrist away guy. I still think you had probably like the quick line,
a little bit maybe.
Okay, he's got a good arm.
I have no doubt. I
you know,
no
he's
doubt.
Really, you know, he's on the box now.
Yeah.
Obviously, his workout regime is working.
Yeah.
And he's bringing some gas.
I like it. Well, he's got to have that shoulder.
I don't have a lot of gas, but I do have good control.
That's actually true. So, last story, and I'm off the mic.
He's not lying. That is true.
So, Rich and I, how long do we play together? 12
Since
years?
Since 2001 to...
I mean...
Yeah, 12 years.
That's pretty awesome, dude. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Were we
holding
on?
Did you guys mess that up? Play together for 12 years, you don't know how to high five?
We did a lot of chest bumping.
Yeah, got it. There was like a fist pound, but it was like an open hand. It was just weird.
Indoors,
like,
more of a hug.
Do we handshake?
Some Eskimo kisses?
That's true. It is more of a bro hug.
So Rich and I, so we would get to the gym two hours before a match, and everybody else would be playing finiente or, I don't know, drinking coffee, whatever. And Rich and I would go out to the warm-up courts before everybody else, and we would bring usually our doctor, and usually it was Dr. Stetson, especially in London.
Yeah.
And we would get our spins in. And so what we would do is just go through. It's kind of like BP. It's kind of like batting practice. So Rich and I would just sit there. How long were we there for? 20 minutes?
15, 20, yeah.
And we would just groove.
Just trying to get warmed up and get in the flow. Yeah.
The difference is I can hit really hard.
I know.
But Rich here has just precision control. And I can't tell you how, especially in those 20 minutes, how focused I had to be. Not as a passer.
As your pepper partner.
But as a spinner. Just to make sure that I didn't piss him off. Because, man, in those 20 minutes, if you were somebody that had no control, then Red Rich would just rear his ugly head.
I would say, is that what would set him, like, what are the things that would set him off in practice?
Oh, what?
Call.
What was the question?
Bad call, obviously. Yeah. What would set you off? Because, like, I hear stories of you yelling at not the other team, like your own teammates in practice.
It was more like the guy who showed up, who didn't have to show up to ref, but he wanted to, like, give something to the national program.
And Rich would unleash on that dude?
And he would make a bad call, and it would absolutely be a bad call. And Rich would just absolutely make him feel like...
The guy never showed up ever again.
He shouldn't have even thought about tying his shoes that day, let alone come into the national team
How
and
dare
hold a
you? How dare you think you can come in here? You went Karch when Karch ripped the net down and took the ref, and that ref never refed again. That was just you in the practice gym.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe that was an isolated incident for Karch.
I have not seen other footage of Karch ripping the net down. I've seen him yell at people, but not that. That is
yeah,
correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would like to have seen Red Rich in practice.
There's a kind of a through line in my life because you got Reed talking about Red Rich. Anytime Jace calls me and I'm in the car, she goes, "Oh, are you in the rage cage?"
I Bill Burr, who you and I are a fan of, just did a stand-up, and he finally put my whole life into focus. I was like, yes, that's me. Because people talk about me going 0 to 100 on the volleyball court sometimes because I'll get upset. I will punt a ball or two. Sometimes you got to let it out. But now I realize I don't go 0 to 100. I'm just always idling at 75.
Right.
So
right.
going from 75 to 100 isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
If I'm already idling at 75, it's fine. So that's my whole life now. It makes me feel actually better about my rage.
That is a great way to think about that.
I'm already at 75. Cameron, are you leaving? No, you have to get on the mic real fast. Sorry.
By the way, Jeremy's been carrying this show for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And
Kevin
like,
sucks.
He's acting like this is the worst thing ever.
Okay, Cameron, thanks for being on the show.
Yes, it was a blast the three times I was on.
Yeah, you used to call in and it was like a delay. We would talk to you and there was a delay and we'd talk on top of you and then there was a delay again. I remember that being annoying.
Yes, slightly annoying, but that's nothing new. I'm used to Kevin talking over me.
And also, thank you for saying my government name today on the AVP post.
Did
you? No. I thought it was awesome. That just shows that we're real friends.
We are real friends.
Okay. Now go get in your Uber.
Kevin,
yeah.
So.
I hate Kevin. Sorry. Is the show over now? Like now that Reed said I've been carrying it for 2 hours, I don't know what else to say.
Well, no, it's
panicked. I full panicked.
It's called
Rob,
Volleyball Weekly. Because,
no, it's not.
We've got Vinny Lopes online.
Hey, Rob.
Calling out.
Yes, let's get Vinny.
I'm hungry.
Oh, Rob's mic is muted. It's amazing.
And right now, Rich is leaving to get a cookie.
Yeah.
And you haven't started texting yet. So, and Vinny has been listening on East Coast Time along with Jay Hossing.
I actually don't know where my phone is to text, or else I probably would. Reed's now drinking.
That's right. So, College Volleyball Weekly meant everyone left, including Cameron Irwin.
Well, you're carrying the show on, or that segment of the show on, correct?
Right, courtesy of volleyballmag.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell everybody,
Tell
everybody to go there. Is it weekly? Or are you still doing it weekly?
It's a weekly thing, and you know it's about 15-ish that goes to about 25-ish.
Are you going to be upset if I never ever listen? I'll support.
Yeah, I'm okay because I get it. You know, you came in, you hosted, you let us talk, you're respectful. It was wonderful.
I feel like I've. But I tell people like, yes, I've been DJing on tour for so long.
Yeah,
but doing the show, I feel like was my contribution back to the sport.
Yes.
Because I've been doing it for free.
Yep.
And I'm going to need a little bit of a break, so I might take a break from knowing everything about volleyball for a little while, just because there's other things I'm working on. But I will always, even when I'm done DJing, I will always support the sport and be around, and that'll fluctuate a little bit, but I'm always going to be around the sport, regardless how world-renowned of a DJ I become. I will still support the sport.
You know, just a side story there. And
about being a world-renowned DJ?
Yes.
Okay.
She's like, I want to know about this DJ friend of yours, man.
Who is this?
A significant other.
Okay.
In my
in your
direct
life?
Relationship with, a.k.a. my wife.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, my DJ friend is awesome. You really got to listen to his music. And she's like, ugh. Some white guy?
Yeah, how could this white guy make good
and
music?
And I'm like, here, let's just watch a little bit of the Laker game. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's listening. Wow, this guy's good. I'm like, that's my friend.
Yeah, I know that guy. and a shameless plug.
Yeah.
My group, The Suicide Doors, we've been putting out a song once a month. We just put out a remix last month that's been doing really well. We have a new song coming out on February 17th. So just throwing that out there.
Great news.
You're welcome,
great
everybody.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Could you put together a. Okay, my dad told me this the other day.
Okay.
Oh, so when you're working out, your heart rate rises.
Yep.
And 120 beats per minute is kind of like an exercise rate.
Mm-hmm.
So disco, dance, house
is all right in that range.
Was it created for that reason, or is it just a happy coincidence?
I think it's a happy. I'm sure there's some science that goes into it somehow, where like that BPM is like a like makes your body move that much more. Maybe I don't know. So my guess would be a coincidence.
Okay. Lindsay Breeden's on the line now.
Hi. So is it true that we lost the first 20 episodes because of a hard drive failure on your computer? Is that accurate?
It's accurate, but I still have the hard drive.
That's why I don't exist on the net live, because you lost all the shows. Because
no one's ever talked about you. There's no photos.
Yeah,
and it's like,
there's
who is
nothing.
This person?
I don't
because
exist.
Because they just wiped you off the face of the planet.
There is somewhere.
I still have the hard drive. So if technology, and the whole purpose of me
at
saving
some
it,
point,
it's actually in bubble wrap, to be honest
perfect.
With you. So if technology ever gets to the point where it can still extract those 20 episodes, we got it and we got you.
I guarantee you the technology.
You exist.
Do you know who my favorite guest was in the first 20 episodes?
Okay, I'm guessing it wasn't Misty.
No, I love her so much, but no, it was not Misty.
First 20 episodes, who do we have?
It was a teammate of yours that won a gold medal.
Clay Stanley?
Bird? No. I mean, we played club together, so that doesn't count.
So it wasn't Rich because he's here.
He's so funny.
Scott? No. Scott Tyszynski?
Nope.
Who's funny? Riley Salmon?
He might have played six-man with us as well. Begins with a Fell, ends with an Etherton.
I just had dinner with him the other night.
He is a legend.
He is.
And probably should be on the show right now because he is the coolest dude on the planet.
He is the coolest dude on the planet.
Yeah. I miss him so much. I haven't seen him in years.
Yeah.
Years.
I just had dinner. We didn't have dinner. We had s'mores.
S'mores.
At his house just the other night.
Wow.
With his beautiful new bride. And
congrats, Phil.
Yes.
When you guys started the show, and no offense,
yes,
how did you get beach players on the show? Because you guys were all indoor. So how did you get Misty May Trainer on the first show?
That's so... Well, so Misty, you know what's funny is
I know the volleyball world is small.
My first experience on the national team, it was a national B team. It was in the Pan Am Games. And I at that time, I traveled heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm talking like guitar, Xbox, you know, the whole deal.
Oh, you traveled... Oh, got it.
I traveled heavy.
Got it.
Right. So I show up to the 99 Pan Am Games, and I've got the guitar. And there was rooms that had two bunk beds, but they were like Tinker Toys or like Legos, so you could like build them however you wanted. So I happened to get Jason Ring, who became one of my best friends, and Phil Etherton, who became another best friend.
Can we make bunk beds? So much room for activities.
And so we essentially make a triple bunk bed in our room. So we make a triple bunk bed in our room, and we're playing guitar, and we have everybody in the room, and Misty May Trainor's there, and we're like free versing. And it was right at the time where like things were happening in her indoor world that weren't like they were undervaluing, I think, Misty May, and I'm trying to remember, but whatever. And so we were all free versing, and she gets to her point, and that was like her last tournament, and then she goes on. And so obviously there's so much synergy between. You know, people make it a thing, and I just think it's guys that just play beach or girls that just play beach that make it a thing. Everybody else, it's just volleyball.
Just
like, seriously, I've played in grass tournaments. It's just volleyball.
Well,
I've played in pool tournaments.
Yeah, and like I said before, too, 95% of the people playing on the AVP played indoor, growing up, probably in college, probably overseas before they were professional on tour, most of them, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You play till you can't.
Yeah.
Indoors, and then you play beach, and it's super fun. I mean, I think, in my personal opinion, indoor is more fun to watch on TV.
Yes.
There's more action.
But it's more fun. It's so fun to play beach volleyball. Are you kidding me? It's so great for your body.
The 4-on-4 sponsored by Bud Light back in, like, the late 90s was actually pretty epic.
Yes.
And I wish they would bring that back. Bud Light calling you?
I've said this behind the scenes, and I'm going to say it on the show now. A fours tour would do really well.
Yeah, even the snow.
Nope.
Like,
no.
No snow.
There's a sign over there.
No,
see with the red X on it? We're not allowed to talk about it.
Unless it's Snow Ace.
Yes, I haven't seen Snow Ace on TV yet, but like, sure. Yeah.
Let's bring that.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Bud Light.
Yeah. Just kidding. You can talk about snow.
Dude, you're carrying the show right now.
I know.
Now,
Kevin
Jeremy.
Is terrible.
No. I mean, like,
I'm not auditioning for TNO 2.0, just in case you're wondering what you're building up to right
now. It's halftime right now. I think we're fine. Right?
I think we're fine.
There's no way that your suggestion about giving recording equipment to people all around the country is going to go bad.
It's not. There's no way it can go bad.
We just rent them. There's podcast studios all over the country. It's fine.
I mean, you could just get a mic for $5.
You can get a $30
you can use your cell phone
mic into your...
At this point.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do Zoom meetings all the time.
There
it's
you go.
The most amazing thing ever.
Perfect.
Do you have a picture of the first setup that we ever had? You have to have it somewhere.
I do. You know we did like a fisheye? I think I have like a fisheye. I think Dan Madden's in it. I think you're in it.
Yeah.
Those were some good days.
And you
know what?
Were you bored? Did you not have anything else to do?
You know what's funny, though, is that like as I was thinking about you guys saying like I'm done, like I totally get it because you guys have been carrying this thing for like a decade. for nothing. Like, literally nothing. We haven't been trying to get sponsorships.
Correct. Like, I tell people all the time, like, if we put more effort into it, this show could have been huge. And the reason why, and I can only speak for myself, is because the sport of volleyball does not have a lot of money.
You're right.
That it's spending.
Right.
So the amount of time I would have to put into it to make it feasible for me to stop doing some other things, that balance wasn't worth it for me. I love doing the show. Obviously, I wouldn't be here as long as I did. Kevin and I have become great friends, or else I wouldn't come to his house every day. Although I would say every Monday I just walk in the door. If I come over here on a different day of the week, I'm like, do I knock? Am I allowed just to walk in? Like, I feel awkward about it.
Yeah.
So, yes, this show never saw its full potential for sure.
But there wasn't, there's not, you know, because I thought about it, I was like, oh, man.
There's nothing else like what
the Net Live show ever did. Sparked a whole genre of volleyball shows. But then I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? There aren't any other shows that are kind of like this, that kind of cover the whole gamut.
No, there's no, like, there's Coach Your Brains Out, talking about coaching, obviously.
Which is awesome.
Yeah,
love those
Sandcast,
guys.
Like, and they
Sandcast,
do mostly
awesome.
Beach stuff.
Love
when
those guys.
And it's awesome that those things are there. But nobody else for sure did what this show did. Now, obviously, there was a lot of tomfoolery on the show because sometimes for 2 hours, Kevin and I don't know what to talk about. Or there would be times where I'm walking in, I'm like, what are we going to talk about today? And then 2 hours goes by like that, and I'm like, we talked all volleyball for 99% of the time.
Have you talked about the inspiration for where you came up with the idea for this?
Kevin, I think you need to be in on this one.
Yeah, I do.
This is so the question was asked, how did this show, like, the conception?
Where was the idea, you know, for the first?
Dan Madden needs
I'll
to be
start,
on this,
I'll,
too.
I'll say what I recommend.
Danimal.
And then you. So.
There we go. Okay.
So I remember Kevin and I, Beijing happens.
Yeah.
It's a moment. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And what was really
I still have that voicemail, by the way, that yes. You left me when you're like, I'm not going to spoil it from you, but we just want to go middle.
That was a good phone
message.
It was
a good voicemail.
Yes.
Still have it. It's my ringtone.
I remember Kevin and I getting together, and we basically had a list of probably dozens of and this is where a visionary and an implementer. This is what.
Wait, which am I?
Both.
You are both, but in our context, I was the visionary. You were the implementer.
Reed was John Lennon, and Barnett was Paul McCartney. He executed.
I remember we had.
That's better than being Ringo.
He's not left-handed though.
We had a list of deliverables, and Kevin basically just said, look, there's one thing that we could actually do right now that requires, you know, no outside capital, no outside anything else. Like, we could do a podcast. We could do this thing. You could be in Russia. I could be here. And we could do it. Let's just start with something that we could do. And I really appreciate that because, you know, if visionaries never have implementers or that balance in that relationship, then you just have a bunch of great ideas that never get executed. And so that's how I remember it.
So basically you were Dale and Brennan from Step Brothers.
It was a much bigger idea. It was because we at one point owned the Volleyball Network, which somebody else then later owned. But we had that, and the idea was to build it into a streaming platform and a central spot for volleyball. And we've seen that happen with Spiketown when it was run by Garthoff. We saw whatever it was called when Lee ran it, Feinswag, before he moved over to Volleyball Magazine. We've seen a lot of different efforts in that same realm, like an aggregator. And I still hear that, you know, in regards to the sport and what it needs. But yeah, we did talk a lot about those bigger picture items. I'd forgotten about that. And
wasn't it like Rich Gannon, like that whole podcast thing that you were, or like, it wasn't even a podcast because the
Rich Roll, not Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon's a former quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick. Sorry,
Raiders.
Really close.
Raiders. And Vikings. No?
Dan Patrick. Maybe. Rich Gannon. Dan Patrick.
Really Dan close. Patrick. Yeah, I know. Dan Patrick was always the goal, and that's why I was very happy to get a picture with him in 12 in London and send it to Reed.
Yes.
And I went up and talked to him about it. If he remembered Reed, It was amazing.
Yeah, because I called into Dan Patrick one time. That was great.
Yeah, and he asked if you were going to bring, like, the Beach Girls or something.
I really like Dan's his podcast or whatever it is now. It's like a massive show because there's so much order to it. And, like, people have to raise their hand to, like, speak on his show. And I was always pushing for that for this show, but it just never went that direction.
They definitely don't have a swear jar.
Yes, Dan.
Hey, guys. I don't have a question. I just wanted to raise my hand so I could say something.
Dan, you reminded me of something. It's kind of a moment that stuck out for you in this show and your time on it that I had totally forgotten about.
You want me to tell?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a good story.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting something else?
Where's Dan been?
For a decade.
It's been a decade. And I'm like, where has freaking Dan been?
He tore his Achilles and we never saw him again.
Well, I mean, like, he went from this, like, funny guy involved in our lives
Spike
to, like,
Town.
I'm totally out. Like, you weren't even around Billy Allen anymore. It was so weird.
Billy and I have been texting all day.
Reasonable serves.
Okay. About this.
Okay.
So, do you know how I heard about Dan? You know how Dan and I met at all?
No.
Someone sent me, hey, have you seen this Spike Town stuff? This Danny. I'm like, what are you talking about?
So good.
So I get sent these videos right before the Beijing Olympic Games. And they come, and I'm on air. And so I'm a new guy, but I'm kind of feeling my way. And at one point, Wang Yimei from China, who is their big hammer, she laid down a kill. And I went, Wang Yimei takes it to Spike Town. And this is at like 3 in the morning here. And I didn't know Dan. I just took his Spiketown thing and dropped it in. And the next morning on the internet, they put up, and at that point you'd have to say, like, on the internet, they put up that I was an honorary deputy of Spiketown because
obviously
of mentioning it.
You remember the title it gave you. That's amazing. Yeah.
It was really funny.
We got, like, emails from people like, hey, they just said Spiketown on the Olympics. And we're like,
dude, you have a patent?
I still have my shirt, by the way. My favorite
hey,
shirt.
Let me tell you what I think happened. Dan was single when he was involved with us.
And unemployed.
Just, he was all in. And
I fixed that for a minute.
Personally.
I
mean, self-employed.
Like,
making
us laugh.
Personal clients, yes, for design.
Single, all in. He finds a lady. Single, you know, he gets
next
married.
Next door neighbor.
And we never hear from him again. So this was... We were just...
Children like, will do
he
that
used
to
us.
To what? Find a girl?
Yes.
Oh.
And then...
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we no longer mean anything to this guy.
She also played the volleyball at LMU.
I'm
that's
good right. with that.
That's just how I feel.
She
tell me where
you've
been.
Well, I mean, here's what happened. Here's what really happened is, you know, back in 2009, 2010, I was driving my Honda, my 1985 Honda Elite 250cc scooter.
That's right.
Down to your house every week.
Right.
Like,
obviously not
risking,
on the 405.
Risking death. No. On
took 7 hours.
PCH.
Each way.
It was so scary.
It's not a straight shot for those who aren't from California.
And coming home from your house one day, the front tire just, it had a flat, but it was a gradual one. And I was almost home. I had just, you know, drove or rode the scooter however many miles from Hermosa or from Huntington to Hermosa. I'm making a left by the Redondo post office, and the tire is completely flat, and I can't make the left, and I'm heading into oncoming traffic, so I'm kind of veering. And I finally just jack the handlebars, and I go flying up onto the curb to get out of the way of this car. And I said, okay, I'm never going to do this again. Maybe it was home from your house, actually, from Barnett's
I
house.
Forgot about this.
So I junked that thing, and then I didn't have a car, so I just stopped coming. No, what happened was...
That crash. God.
What happened was Lindsay Breeden right here hired me to do some work for him, and I said, hey, guys, I can't do a show anymore. And I think Geeter was pretty mad.
Yeah.
That I quit on you guys. I'm like, yeah.
A lot of good came out of the Net Live, one of which was me finding Dan and hiring him because he is a fantastic talent.
And then you fired him.
Well, so...
he was so good,
no,
you had to let him go.
He was not fired. We just did a big layoff, and, you know, that's how it goes.
Wasn't good enough.
Love him so much.
Didn't cut the mustard.
But he is the best. Hire Dan Madden.
What skills are we talking about here? Because I might be hiring.
All the design skills. UX,
I don't know
UI.
If Dan heard, but Danny, this is just halftime.
Tell this story, though, about the day I called you.
So I have a group of friends. We're called the Creative Club. It's Billy Allen, John Mayer, Andrew Fuller, Brady Halverson, and some other guys you never heard of. Oh, Nils Nielsen.
Do you guys still have a text thread going?
Oh, it's going. It's firing today.
Like right
firing.
Now, is it
right
happening?
Now? You want
Can
to read
you please
some?
Let them know that I said hi?
Somebody's got to drink this. It's too expensive.
So while he's getting out his phone and talking about this, I got a great story about. So when Dan and I were working together, we were working for Adconia Media Group, and we were there had a beach volleyball court.
Like Coney Island?
No, okay. Not at all. they had a beach volleyball court before the train came through in Santa Monica, right? Like out back. So we were next to IMAX. So it was like us versus IMAX. And so it was me and Dan. And I'm like, I don't know what to expect here. They were talking all this smack. So Billy Allen came. I just brought in everyone, and we just absolutely thumped them. And I actually felt kind of bad because they were just not good at all. IMAX is terrible.
Yeah, we didn't need Billy Allen.
No, we didn't.
Wait, before he said he's terrible at volleyball, Lindsay was the first male to dominate the women's court.
Yep, this is true.
What so does that mean?
At Loyola Marymount, before 2000, he was practicing with the girls and absolutely dominating. And now it's a thing.
I had to get my reps in somewhere. You know,
I gotcha.
I mean, I was really great at shagging balls in practice.
Gone.
Yeah.
He was great. He was good for us, absolutely. But he was the best for them.
Yes. He's like the Kevin Hambley of college.
I made them better.
Yes.
Kevin Hambley pioneered the use of
And congrats to the LMU women's beach volleyball team that got their WCC rings today for winning the championship last year.
It's because they don't pepper.
They have John Mayer. That is exactly why they won.
Coach your brains out. All right. So
your volley's like a wonderland. Yeah.
So this creative club, we had this contest that Reed judged. We made songs, the 10 of us, a bunch of volleyball guys.
Kids liked your song, by the way. We played it in the car for a long time.
Called Come On and Say Yes.
Yes.
Reed judged it, and I won.
Clearly.
Unanimous.
It was a good song.
Mayer had a good song, too.
John Mayer, he's great.
Yeah.
At guitar.
Yes.
Yeah. And singing.
He can play those blues. He's great on the Chappelle Show.
Absolutely.
So I borrowed the NetLive's recording equipment that they use for, you know, all this stuff that we have in front of us, all these knobs. So I borrowed that. It was in like a Trader Joe's bag. I borrowed it over the weekend. I forgot to give it back. And so I'm up in Santa Monica. It's about 9:40 a.m. The NetLive, like actually 9:40. And the NetLive starts at 10 o'clock. I get a call from Barnett. He's like, hey. Where's all the equipment? I'm like, ooh, it's in my house. And I'm in Santa Monica.
I remember this panic.
So he's like, okay, what's your address? I tell him my address. He drives over. I'm like, but the door's locked. But my roommate Cronin, who he kind of knew, might be there, but he might not answer the door. So I told him how to sneak in. You climb up the front, which is
balconies.
Like a dumpster door that you can kind of grab onto. Over
Keep it high level so no one breaks in again.
I don't live there anymore.
Okay, fine.
Oh, 10 years ago. But so Barnett breaks into my house. Cronin, my roommate, is sitting on the couch watching last night's Celtics game. He's like, oh, hey, Barnett.
I came in the slider off the patio.
Yeah. Cronin doesn't move.
And the NetLive went on.
And the NetLive made it by 10 a.m.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I broke it. I committed a B&E. To get the net live on air.
Amazing.
Allegedly.
Not the only one that I committed in that era, actually. I had a situation where I was supposed to be on NBC. We had an opportunity to be on big NBC. This is when I was brand new to broadcasting, and I had just moved to this house. And for some reason, they sent the polo that I needed for the NBC show to my other house. So I go over there, and where I had rented, and there's new renters, and I knock on the door. Nobody's home. I tried calling the landlord, won't answer, knock on the door some more, nobody's home. I'm like, well, I look in the window, and I can see the FedEx box on the mantle.
Wow.
Is that
like a hard knock? Like, what do you do?
Oh,
there?
Yeah. I'm like, are you there? Okay. Are you there? So I'm thinking to myself, all right, dude, I got to be on NBC. I can't, like, not have a shirt. No one's going to have a shirt for me. How am I going to go on NBC without the proper apparel? Okay, I'm going to do it. So I go in the back. And I know the house well enough, so I pull the screen, pop the screen, pull the window up, go in, quick look down the hallway, run the distance to the house because I had to go from front to back in the house to grab the FedEx box. Sure enough, there it is. Pull it off the mantle, walk out, I was missing a curtain rod or something. I looked behind a door to see if it was there where I thought it was. Nope, not there. Okay, and back out the window, close it, pop the screen back in, and gone.
Wow.
To this day, I bet those people go, where the hell did that FedEx box go?
Wow. The things you do for the peacock.
Straight B&E.
Wow.
Before the Nest Cam and so
before
on.
Before it. Yeah,
I would
exactly.
not do it today.
No.
I would not do
we
it
have
today.
We have so many cameras. But you were like the OG for cameras at your house. Like even
oh,
like
yeah.
the original
full security
Net Live.
System.
Speaking of cameras, I had to scour the cameras recently. So Lindsay's car gets broken into. Turns out she didn't lock the car.
Okay. Is it really breaking in if you just leave it open?
Oh, my gosh. So I had to, like, toggle through, like, 12 hours of footage, and I see this guy trying to, you know, at 4 a.m. trying to get in all the cars. It's actually a perfect segue into my least favorite moment of the Net Live.
Uh-oh. I'm going to get off the
headset. Here we
go. So we were early, and you know what? In her defense, I'm probably not even better today, but your mom had a lot of issues with what I brought to the table. So in the early days, it was Kevin and I, and neither one of us were pros, to be honest. I mean, like,
true.
You got the 2008 job, and you did great, I think. Did you do good?
I did fine.
Fantastic.
Okay, you did good. You did good. And here we are on...
I was the best
podcasting.
Ever. Yes.
Where you can actually download into Wi-Fi... which is a hard concept for people over 90. It turns out my great-grandma tried to help her out. It was hard.
Just give me an audiobook at some point, the Net Live, the entire series.
Oh, my God.
Years.
And I would get, was it weekly? I would get weekly, like, bullet points of all the ways that I was terrible, but Kevin was great from his mom.
Well, it's just science, really. I mean, it's hard to argue. Yeah.
Is this true? How true is this? Is this real?
This is totally true.
This is real. I don't know about the bullet points, how I was awesome, but there were definite bullet points. My mom did not like the number of ums that Reed was using. Huh. It's kind of like Anne Lamborn through Rich Lamborn letting us know that our grammar is incorrect on air. Yeah.
I think I have a Rich Lamborn story, but he's not here anymore.
Bring this.
It's actually has nothing to do with him, except...
How is it? I don't understand.
Wait, yeah, we'll find out.
I'm out
we'll
on that.
We'll find out right now.
Okay. Please.
Did I steal your thunder, Reed?
Yes. I was going to say, in 10 years from now, we need to at least have enough mics that all the hosts can stay here because they actually have a mic, because half of them left because they didn't have a mic.
I've been gone for 10 years, so...
Josh Glazebrook left. I didn't even know he left.
That's how you do it.
He's doing one-arm push-ups out in your driveway.
Glaze Creek is?
Yeah.
He's got a drone above us.
Raise your hand if you think it's Glaze Creek or Glaze Brook. Take your... Okay.
Can I go?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Here I go. So did Rich win the national championship with BYU in 99? Okay. The EIVA, Penn State, played in the Final Four that year. But they almost didn't. They almost lost to me. Yeah, at New Jersey Institute of Technology. Barnett, you're not even paying attention to my story. This is important.
I'm the host of the party.
What does that have to do?
See you tomorrow.
That's still, you're still not listening. Unbelievable.
Dan, you disappeared for 10 years. Don't give me this crap.
All right, go ahead.
That's true. Okay. Fair enough.
Go ahead.
So, NGIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Highlanders, go Highlanders.
Yeah, that's right. I played middle there because A.J. Mahalik, who's just a smaller version of Barnett.
Who married a 55-year-old woman.
What?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Neither here nor there.
No.
Continue.
Correct. He got injured, and I filled a spot. I wasn't necessarily middle, but anyway, we were up 2-0 against Penn State. They had Eric Houston. They had... Jose Quinones, they had Tony Mazzullo.
We're really digging deep for these names here, yes.
Yeah.
Tony Mazzullo. A lot of Tony Mazzu fans out there.
Yeah. Raise your hand.
There's Tony Zapata. I don't know about
you. Had Mazzullo. Me a hello. Continue.
Yeah. So we're up 2-0, and we go to the side switch in the game three, and we're like, holy shit, we're going to go to the Final Four. Well, they win the next two, but it's like 11-11 in game five. And we swing and get blocked, but Jose Quinones nets. They don't call the net. They go serve. We lose 15-13 or 16-14. And the ref goes up to our captain at the after the match. He's like, sorry, I missed that call. And we're like, well, F you, man. We could have used that call. That would have been nice to go to wherever it was and get absolutely murdered by BYU.
Carthage College. Oh, no, BYU. Okay.
No, BYU. With Ryan Millar in middle. Me versus Ryan Millar. How would that have fared?
I missed the positive hecklers. I missed that from Provo. You know, you would go in there would be like, that's a really bad serve. Oh, really bad serve.
Oh, the air is thin up there.
Paper airplanes. That's where we're at now.
All right, that's all I got.
All right.
You want me to rattle off the Creative Club questions?
No, I think what we should do is we should take it back to when we used to do the Net Live and do commercials with creaky Halloween music and stuff.
Singing and things.
Yeah, singing and things. Living on a prayer.
How about the one time we had a sponsor that was actually paying us and then came to us and said, we'll continue to support the show, but you can't have any affiliation with this other thing. So they had like a personal vendetta.
Yes, I remember who that was.
And that was like the worst. Like that still sticks with me today. Of just like,
can we get details of that?
No,
that,
we
that
can't.
Person was later in charge of more things.
No, stop. We're not going to go deeper than that. But like that was the first picture I had into like the ugly
quid
world.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah. Of just like, oh my gosh, we love you guys. We'll continue to support you, but you can't have any affiliation with this other thing that's also supporting you. Because I don't like them.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't like that.
And I think we made the decision of just like, no.
No.
Like, sorry. Like, we'll say no to money because that's not right.
And yes to our integrity.
That's right.
That's right.
Cheers, Barnett. We made it at 10 years and we're going to make it another 10 years.
Halftime. Halftime.
Hashtag. That's the hashtag coming out of this show. Halftime.
Halftime.
Yes. Halftime. All right. Jeremy Roche, you want to jump back on one more time? Let's finish this off. Reed, are you good?
I'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Why doesn't this iPad say boom when I'm tapping boom?
Because the volume's turned off.
Yeah, you got to turn
you're not
the volume.
Are you not a tech guy like I am, apparently? Like,
you're not a DJ,
I think
Dan.
It's that one. Try now.
If you were a DJ, you would know this.
No, try this one.
Make sure the
stop
muted?
Pressing buttons.
Hang on. Yeah, make sure it's not
ready? There's no way... Barney pressing all these buttons is going to work out well.
Yeah. There you go.
Just use the first.
I believe we had that one.
Just
by
use
the
first two lines. The bottom ones are not going to.
Jeremy, that's why I spit up my mule.
I need Madden to tell me what years you were at Nidget because I need to know when you were in the EIVA.
99 and 2000.
Geezer left his Christmas card.
99 and 2000. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juniata, so we're on the
all right.
And Katie's curious how old you are.
Can we get an age on Dan Madden?
I'm 40.
40. It's 40.
I'm 40. I just turned 40.
He's 4-0.
4-0.
So now we talked about Phil being potentially the best beach player of all time.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I'm 1-0 against him indoor. So, great story.
Suck it, Phil.
Yeah, right?
My roommate, Ryan Cronin, is 2-1 or 3-2 against
him. Really?
Dahlhauser, yeah.
Yeah.
It was...
He still mentions that.
After
I'm undefeated.
Loyola Marymount dropped their men's volleyball team when we were 6th in the nation.
That's right. You were finally good.
Yeah, we were finally good. And I went from libero and... Nice. Well
Dude,
played,
the,
Dad.
The sound effects well are played. So addicting that Jeff Conover, who was trying to not travel as much anymore, is traveling this season just to be the sound effects guy. Because he did it in Hawaii. He's like, bro, this is the greatest things ever. I was like, well, you're more than welcome to take it over. So now he'll be standing next to me in the DJ booth.
Just hitting buttons.
But
like
only
this.
If he's drinking coffee, there will have to be a lid on it because he almost ruined Hawaii this year.
Wait, right next to you? Or will he be between? Will he be on the other side of Kim and Mark?
He'll have to go somewhere else.
All right. Kevin, he can come to my booth if he wants.
You know,
played the Mahan Qualifier 2008 with Conover.
Nice. Yeah. Jumping Jeff Conover.
Right now, Lindsay's experiencing what we've all experienced, just trying to get a story in, but it's gone
no,
sideways.
It's not even a good story.
You said it was a great story.
Well, then let's hear it.
You're right.
Good?
Actually, it's a fantastic story.
Is it better than Dan's story about Rich Lamborn? Because I don't remember Rich being in that story.
Probably.
He story would have.
He would, oh, he would have been.
About Rich Lamborn, but not
probably.
About Rich Lamborn.
Got it.
No, after they dropped our program, we went to a club team.
Yeah.
We ended up going to, we were playing somewhere.
Club Nationals?
Columbus. Club Nationals, and we were playing Phil's team from Florida, and...
Yeah,
we beat them in two, and that was my one win against him ever, and he's just fantastic. So
he's still upset about it.
Yep.
thrilled.
How many victories do you have on your word cloud behind you when you do that Skype interviews?
Probably about 75.
Amazing. It's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Probably more, but, you know.
All right, Reed, we're going to wrap this thing up.
I made a list of some of my favorite guests.
Yes.
Oh,
Kevin.
Yes.
Gabby Reese.
Yep. Fantastic.
Most of my favorite guests were from the indoor side, and I think it's because I didn't know that side that well. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I know the beach players, like, I get to talk to them. They'd come into the DJ booth, so I actually knew them more personally. So when the indoor players would come on, I was just – it was just a different game for me and different mindset and playing, you know, that way. So those Gabby Reese was
so
one.
Let me ask you a question.
Yep. Do I hate indoor? Yeah. No, I'm just
kidding. Our first and last guest.
Yep.
Allegedly. Misty May.
Not if you're
trainer.
Yeah.
Indoor, beach. How would you put her in a bucket?
What does that
beach.
Mean?
Is she known for beach? Is she known for indoor? Because she holds most of the records beach. For indoor as well.
Yeah, but people forget she went to the national team, was only there for a short time.
She has three.
But was fantastic at indoor.
She has three gold medals on the beach in a row.
Okay.
So.
In college, right. She was terrific, yeah. That's accurate to say. It'd be a disservice to the people who were there to say she was terrific.
She holds so many records indoor.
But
No, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think on the national team, I don't know the specifics. It would be interesting to actually talk to Misty about it. But she wasn't there that long. And my memory was that the program and what her goals were at the time weren't meshing. And then, you know, she went to the beach because that's, I don't know if that's where she wanted to be for sure, if she got forced to a choice or whatever. But obviously that worked out great. But there were a lot of expectations for her indoor.
She was on.
Coming out of college. Because you're right. She was an unbelievable indoor player.
She was on Dancing with the Stars because of being in the Olympics on the beach.
Big
so
swim.
The answer to the question is beach.
Fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Fair.
I would really
no
like
argument.
To hear Misty's
no
take
argument.
On why.
That takes nothing
I think
away
we
from
asked
her indoor
back
career,
in the
but
totally.
You're asking what she's more known for. And that's
absolutely. If you're going to bucket her.
Totally.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Gabby, Misty, obviously. Casey Patterson, just for the one time that he said boom, and it literally
woo.
Cut the show off.
And played Vivaldi.
That happened, and then the show was over.
Right. And it played,
we
played
five,
Vivaldi, so we couldn't get back on.
10 minutes into the show, yeah.
Hugh McCutcheon had to be canceled. He was next.
That is very true. Nicole Davis, I always enjoy talking to her on the show.
Really good conversation with Nicole Davis.
The Kelsey Robinson interview we had I thought was great. Always enjoyed hearing from Karch, especially once he got to the coaching side on the indoor. He's always a great guest.
Yep.
Spraw was always great. He would give us way more time than I thought for as busy and the 35 jobs that guy has. He would talk to us the entire show. If we weren't like, hey, we know you need to go somewhere. He's like, no, I'm fine talking to you guys. Like, you said you had to be at practice 10 minutes ago. You should probably stop. No one's listening. You should probably stop chatting.
Right.
He has an Instagram account that is dead hilarious. He barely posts. I don't think he posts anymore, but I found it like a year or two.
Is it really him, though?
I think it is. He's posting like jokes about his players, like, and it's absolutely dead hilarious. Like,
okay.
Every single post is hilarious.
Dread Pirates Spru.
After the show. Two of my highlights on the show are both Karch and Spraw, because I would get one question in per interview. That was my highlight. But Spraw and Karch both said after I asked my question, oh, that's a great question. And I just was like, cool. What else do you need me for? My job here is done. One question was great. You had 10 questions. No one said any of your questions were great. I had one, and I'm a better broadcaster than you are.
That's why this show is ending. Constant.
It's not
abuse.
Time.
Okay.
I will say, though, I found it amusing that after a few years, I would go to events, and some people would know me from this show,
right?
Not for my DJ career. They're like, oh, I enjoy you on the Net Live. Oh, cool. Do you come to AVP events? Yeah, yeah. Oh, do you know I'm a DJ? No. How's that possible? That's actually what I do.
Are you going to host another show?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
He's been carrying this show for 3 hours.
You started really recording
we're
interviews
at 3 hours
with
and 26
people.
Seconds.
I did. There's
this is the Jeremy Rocher hour right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. This is just the beginning.
Geeter already texted me since he's left the show saying how proud he is and taking credit for how good I am on the mic.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. are we good? Somebody else? Do you have more?
I think I've covered all my notes throughout the 5 hours.
I think
I
threw
show.
Mine in a paper airplane, so I think I'm good.
Yep.
I Reed, thanks to you for our meeting at the very beginning and what we kind of laid out for volleyball. I never thought we'd be here. I never thought about it, but I never certainly would have said, oh, 10 years down the road, 11 years down the road, we'll be wrapping it up. No, that was
you know
not remotely
crazy.
On
your
the
hairline's still the same, and your skin. I mean, like you look the
he
same.
He looks the
he
same.
He looks like he's 12.
It's really amazing.
It's impressive.
If there's one thing we've learned is that age, like Kevin aging, like how do we bottle this up?
I know.
My last name isn't Barnett. It's actually Lestat.
Is it like building a giant hammer that we carry around to work or like?
Yeah. What? That's what you should do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do that.
I've got Dick Clark's disease. So thank you for that. And Dan, thank you for your contributions early on to this and coming tonight. Appreciate it. Lindsay as well and Brandon for being on. Did you get on this at all?
I didn't get on.
Okay.
But I got a question.
Oh, by all means.
First time, long time?
Where's the bathroom?
Yeah. First time listener, long time caller.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of your cats recently. Are they okay? They're good?
They're good.
So the question is this. What do you guys think your legacy is to our sport? Have you guys talked about, I don't know. I show up an hour late everywhere just because. Consistency?
I knew.
You missed hitting lines.
You missed my wedding reception, my wedding rehearsal.
Not your reception.
The rehearsal part, though.
Yeah, but yeah. Rehearsal, come on.
Who needs it? Who needs a rehearsal?
I'm coming in hot.
Yeah. Well, it is halftime.
It's halftime.
It's halftime, so.
But 10 years is a long time, and I think you guys have done something really, really unique in this whole landscape of volleyball. And it's not just covering the sport, but it's having opinions and some good, some aggressive, some pissing people off. And that is not happening in this sport. And I think it's something that adds to it. And so, anyways, I'm just wondering, like, what's the legacy? What have you guys thought about it? And you need to.
I don't know. Is that for me to decide?
I'm gonna let you answer that, Kevin. But first time, long time, Brandon.
Hey, thanks, Kanye.
Yeah. So, what's interesting, what I think people need to know is that what I really appreciate about Kevin, and I learned this, like the first time that I learned this about Kevin was in Germany. We had just had a World League match, and there was some team stuff that came up that Doug brought our way. And I was just fresh out of college, and I'm on the national team, and they're at, you know, like, whatever the coach says, like, I'm saying, like, yes. And Kevin just, like, is just like, hell no. Like, no, that's not happening. Like, head coach, I don't care what you're saying, but you're wrong, and for all these different reasons. And he spoke his mind, and it was clear-headed. It wasn't emotional, and it was just direct, and it was concise. There was brevity, and I just remember just being scared out of my mind for what was going to happen next. But he's never strayed from that, to the point even in our relationship where I'm just like, dude, Kevin, you got to know that what you're saying impacts, like, you might be saying something, but there is an emotional impact for me, your friend, and we've had discussions on that. And so, you know, I think people need to know that Kevin is always speaking the truth as he sees it. You might not agree with what he sees, and you might have issue with how much time he's had in the sand. But what I appreciate is that Kevin, I think in terms of the legacy, is truth was always what was priority, I think, with this show, is that everyone spoke their mind. And there wasn't, we weren't getting paid. So at no point did anybody have an agenda to push. And I think that's what's really unique.
I feel like, and I would tell people this, like, Kevin would say it in a matter-of-fact way, and some people don't like hearing opinions that way, and so they automatically get defensive. And I would tell them, I'm like, you may not like how he's saying it, but actually listen to the words. Because if you listen to it, he's 90% of the time correct. Whether you like that opinion or not is irrelevant, but what he's saying is probably on point-ish. And it's not coming from a place of, I think I'm better than you, or my point is correct all the time. We always said, if we said something on the show you didn't like, you are more than welcome to call us or come on, which people have, and let us know your opinion as well. Like, always, this sport has a hard time taking criticism. And and if this sport wants to get to the level, like an NBA, an NFL, NH, any of that stuff, everybody, that includes me, is going to have thicker skin. Because all, think about LeBron takes 5 threes, misses them. It's all written about in the paper the next day. Okay? If you get the freeze award and then Kevin heckles you on the show about it, like he did, you know, that those are things that are come with it, especially if there's more publicity. Now, I'm not saying Kevin was right for heckling you or that Trevor was correct for calling you a hack, because I'm going to say if you've been in four Olympics and now your name's on the pier, like, you're not a hack.
I hammered Trevor for that at the time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's fine.
By the way, the sound's off, so I don't know if we're recording any of
that. Yeah, who cares? We're definitely recording. Yes.
We're going to have to fix it
anyway.
We're live
here. We're live. But I've always said, and obviously I'm biased on this, but what Kevin does, not on this show, but on TV and broadcast, I enjoy listening to him.
Yes.
At the same level that of all the greats that have been in the sport talking as well, too.
Wow.
And that obviously comes from, I'm biased on that as well, but I feel like Kevin's always trying to be fair on TV and inform people of what's going on. Because coming from a player, and then on the backside of that, on the business side, or on this side, or then the broadcast side, like, you've seen it all, so I feel like there is, your opinion carries more weight than somebody who hasn't done any of that stuff. That's
he's
on
trying
TV.
To grow the game.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
it's yeah, he's being honest.
Yes,
but doesn't mean he's always right.
Yeah. That is correct.
Sunderland put it to me this way when I was ranting about something. And he said, "You just don't, you don't tolerate fools." You know, what's the right word? Huh? No, I just don't like listening to people who don't have a clue about what they're talking about, or who are completely off base with very little information. I try and have a fair amount of information, or tell you I don't really know. This is my guess at stuff. But yeah, I appreciate that. And you ask about the legacy of the show, Brandon. I hope that we have added to people's understanding of the game, and that's either via the stuff we've talked about, but mostly due to the people we've exposed. That was really the goal, was to expose all the fantastic people in this sport. You know, we started with Misty, and to have the people on this show who've done the things that they've done in this game, success or longevity or innovation, the people that we've had on this show to talk about their views of what has happened, because they've been there. Sinjin, who had lived the history that I was very interested in.
Yep.
And to learn at the foot of those people is to inform the things that I've had to say about the game, but it's only because we've had so many really good people on this show to talk about the game and the things that have gone on.
And whenever controversy came up, it wasn't us looking for it. Our goal on the show was never to, like, hey, let's find something that's controversial to talk about so it'll bump our numbers or whatever.
Yeah.
Those were just natural conversations that happened. It wasn't like, oh, we saw Reed yelling at his partner in the box, let's get him on the show and talk about that. Like, that was never a thought process ever. So when there was drama, it was because there was drama in the sport, not because we were going to look for it.
I don't want there to be a third rail. Don't touch the third rail. And I got into it with the AVCA at their convention when it came to the suicide of Sam Wopat. I got into it with the AVCA there. And I'll tell you that I lost the job because of that. And I stick to it to this day, because everybody came to me when her sister Carly, who we've now had on the MVP the last couple of years, was going to be an All-American.
We had on the show to talk about this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Was going to be an All-American. Everybody from Katie, sitting over there, to other people, came to me and said, don't mention it. Don't mention it. And my question was, because I already had a question written down for her about it, but I said, has anyone asked Carly? Talk to the person. Don't shy away from things. I don't need to make a moment of it for me. That's never the point. But talk to Carly. And I asked Carly, do you want to include your sister? She said yes. And she talked about that on the show in the last year.
And you haven't worked for the AVCA since.
Correct. But those things, I think that the sport, I hope that this show is an encouragement to whomever is next or whatever is next.
Todd's down.
I hope that that's an encouragement to address things head on. Not for the purpose, like I said with the Kobe thing, not for the purpose of drawing attention to the writer or to the talking head or whoever it is, but because whatever's being discussed is material to what's happening. That's my problem with the Kobe thing. I don't think it's material. But I thought that was material to what was going on at the time. You can't just ignore.
Well, and you asked her.
Real life.
She wanted to include her sister in that moment.
And I asked her more than three times, including backstage before we went out, Carly, I have no reason to do this. We don't have to do it. It is up to you if you want to include your sister in this, if you want to answer this question. That's up to you. And to this day, I have no clue what she said after I asked the question. Not a clue. Because all I wanted to do was ask the question, let her have her moment, done. Mm-hmm. Moving forward. It's not my moment, it's hers. And I hope on this show we've provided some moments for people to talk about themselves, their experience, their knowledge, because they had so much to give that I thought didn't really have a home. When you and I were talking, I said, the line I've always used with this show is, if you went to World League in the summer on one Sunday and you went to the exact event the next Sunday, you had no clue why the roster changed. You had no clue what had gone on afterwards by the coaches, by the players. I thought we needed to expose that, and that applies to everybody, to college, to beach. I want to know why something happened. I think it's important to talk about the game.
And we did that one of our last shows last year at some point, probably in June was the last time we did it. But when Lamborn was on the show, we were explaining the Olympic qualifying process and how all the points work. And how, like, yeah, this team's in number one, but a bunch of tournaments are now going to fall off, and their points are going to fall off, and then team number two is going to jump over them. So explaining that to people, because there's so much, it's confusing. There's a lot of misinformation out there, so I felt we did a good job of trying to explain all of that to the people the best that we knew how.
And
because if you go to the FIB website, it sucks. I keep saying that.
Well documented until they change the show.
Yeah.
I hope somebody picks up the mantle of that somehow.
Is halftime, apparently.
Yeah,
halftime.
But and continues that.
It's viral.
It's happening.
What's
up? It's
viral.
Happening.
I hope somebody picks that up because the sport still needs it. The sport still needs that exposure. The sport still needs to be talked about. The people in the sport deserve to be talked about because of who they are, what they are.
And I will listen to that show.
The best thing that this program has done for everyone is shed light on the best community on the planet, which is volleyball.
Great,
you know?
Community.
I met my wife through volleyball.
Woo woo.
Ditto.
Our daughter. Our son plays volleyball. I've coached volleyball. I played volleyball. Volleyball is the best. Like, all my best friends are from volleyball. So, you know, if nothing else, it's just shed light on how awesome the volleyball community is.
We have, I don't know where the archive is going to go, but we have things at the time of things. We have Hugh McCutchen in 08 after they win. We have Karch after they win the 2014 World Championships, only gold medal by a women's national team in the United States. Hard to believe.
Hashtag Karching.
In a major, yeah.
Karching.
We have those interviews with people at the time as an archive, which I think is really interesting stuff. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know how we're going to make it available. But we'll do something with it where it will be somewhere. But I hope that that's not all lost to the ether.
It won't be.
No. Just the first 20 episodes.
They don't suffer fools. That's what it is. Suffer fools.
Well, here's my opinion of you guys' legacy. So 10 years to consistently be doing something week after week after week and kind of speaking into the ether, right? You don't know exactly how many people are listening to it, the whole thing, but and it's for everyone, but Kevin, I think this speaks specifically to you and how you do it and how you've always done things, but to be consistent for 10 years is phenomenal. And like, this program has, I mean, you are the heart and soul of it, no doubt. And you know, it at the heart of it, it was journalistic. It was covering our sport, and it was elevating the coverage of the sport. It wasn't, hey, this is the libero because she's in the other color jersey. It was
Libero, I believe.
Sorry about that. My you're right.
I'm an indoor guy now. That's what Rich Lamborn calls it, so that's what I call it.
You know what? I turn off the broadcast, actually. I watch it and turn the sound down. So my guilty when certain parties are commentating, but that's just me. But the other thing is that it was – the way you approached it was fearless, and you've always lived your life without fear. It's how you approach the game. It's how you approach this. And I think it says something to get to a point where your coverage of a sport isn't just about making people happy and making people feel good and everything is perfect and great. It's, yeah, there's some issues going on with the sport, and it's, you know, 10 years is we've seen a lot happen indoor and especially on the beach. The AVP has died and come back like 6 times. So, but you addressed all of it without fear, without an agenda, just, hey, this is what's happening. This is what I think about it. And so it was a great elevation of the coverage of the sport. And I do hope that someone can come through and, cover it fearlessly like you guys have for the last 10 years. So,
halftime.
Thank you, Brandon.
Great job. Thank you so much for what you've done for our sport, for everyone.
Thank you. Heath. Thank you. That means a lot. Yeah. Higa, way to step in and hit it out.
That's emotional.
It doesn't need
to. We've got to wrap this up sometime. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We've been wrapping it up for an hour and a half right now.
72-hour podcast.
I think this is. Take us home.
Yeah.
This
is it.
This is longer than the.
Heading down Magnolia Lane.
This is barely longer than the Sinjin episode.
We had to go longer than the Sinjin episode. Friends. We had the final episode. Thank you to everyone who contributed for the last 11 years. From Reed at the start, Dan, Lindsay were all there. We were doing some goofy stuff to start. Brandon came on, CVW, Ed Chan, and VolleyballMag.com been willing to help along the way. Of course, Ed, one of the longtime supporters of the game. A lot of the themes Brandon touched on apply certainly to Ed and his wife and what they've given to the game. Katie for her hosting, Nicole for allowing Jeremy to come over here on Mondays.
The always beautiful
yes, Nicole Roche. Chris, I loved having Geeter back here.
Yes,
the show was really good with him here. We had a lot of fun for
really,
a lot of
I'm
years.
Kind of over that guy a little bit.
I mean, not fun this time when he was here, but before when he used to come on the regular basis.
I think
he
should
fun.
Win another car on Price is Right. Like just the second car would be amazing
with his
jorts. He used to take my money for grass tournaments, and then all of a sudden we're doing a podcast together 10 years later. And thanks to you, the fans, for listening to the show, for supporting the show. Project Omaha, I think about that. And we put out a Kickstarter that said, hey, send us to Omaha for the Final Four. I think it took 3 days. And people stepped up, and we got to go and be a part of it. And, of course, I mentioned all the sponsors earlier. I wish good things for the sport ahead. I really do. And I had a rant because that was one of the things we did early on, and I tend to do that to people. Text or verbally, is about the AVCA, and I'll leave it at this. I want to see men's college beach, and I want to see more teams on the men's side.
Yes.
And I'm tired of the excuses. You made something up out of whole cloth. Women's beach didn't exist. Nobody even wanted it to exist. They tried to vote it down, and yet you persisted, and you made it a thing. And it's a terrific thing. For the game. It's feeding the professional ranks. It's providing more opportunity for players. You made it a thing in the face of resistance. So stop pretending there's too much resistance to do it on the men's side.
Yes. So.
Preach. and that's it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the Net Live. Special thanks to Matt Gardhoff. We had a bunch of his funny things here. He was supposed to be here this week or this weekend. He had a death in the family, but we had lots of funny dolls and stuff. And thanks to everyone who's done stuff for the show. I'm Kevin. He's Jeremy, Reed, and the rest. That's the Net Live. It's over.
Peace.
For now.